Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Your God has not, does not, and will not leave you to suffer evil forever. Your God, the triune God, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, did not work out your rescue upon the Son's cross just to keep it from you. Here, you can be rescued, but no, I'm going to hold on to it. That's not how our God works. And this is what the Canaanite woman knew. She had faith that Jesus was the Lord of the suffering. He was the Lord of the hurting, of the sick, the helpless, the overwhelmed and the overwrought, the depressed and the all but dead, the diseased, as well as the spiritually battered and demon oppressed. These are God's people, those in need. Your God has not, does not, and will not leave you to suffer evil forever. Jesus was crucified to take away your sins, to relieve your suffering. His Holy Spirit inspired his word to be spoken and recorded so you would have the opportunity to learn that God is real and that he really cares for you, really loves you, that he knows what's going on in your life, that since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that through his crucifixion, he has really made it so that the suffering you have or are going to go through, will go through someday, will upon the day of resurrection be completely removed from your unending life in that unbroken world that we await. He instituted baptism so that he could retrieve you from the grasp of sin, death, and the devil's demons. Likewise, he gives you his body and blood, in with and under, the bread and wine, to remind you that during the good days and during the bad days, he is still with you. He will always be with you to the end of the age because he cares for you. He loves you. The Canaanite woman knew just what that means. What does it mean that God cares for you? That God loves you? She knew it meant that there was a source of help for her daughter. That Jesus was a man of mercy and love. The God of grace. She knew what we know from Romans 8:28, that for those who love God, all things do work together for good, even if we can't see it. Even if we're looking at our own lives going, how could this possibly work out for good? She knew that by God's way, it does. She made a faithful confession, just like the Day family is going to in just a little bit. And Jesus said, "O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire." And her daughter was healed instantly. What does it mean that God cares for you, that he loves you? It means your God has not, does not, and will not leave you to suffer evil forever. You may be suffering it now. It will not follow you into eternity because of Jesus. And you will even be able to have joy here in the midst of suffering on this side of the resurrection. It means he sees you. He knows you need help. And he has worked out a way to give you that help. This is why our epistle reading is of such great comfort. Therefore, we read, since we have been justified by faith, that is, since we have faith in Christ crucified, that he took my place on the cross, He died my death. I've been justified by him. We now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is not at war with you. He is not wrestling with you. The wrestling match ended with Jacob's blessing. God is on your side. He's wrestling for you against the enemy. He is your helper. It's one of the names for the Holy Spirit, the helper. Your God has not, does not, and will not leave you to suffer evil forever. He went to the cross for this very reason. Now, let me say that for most of the remainder of this sermon. Let me say that phrase in detail, that Jesus went to the cross. God went to the cross for you for this very reason, to save you from your suffering. We talk about the cross so much that we can kind of empty it of its value. It becomes this jargony word that has no real meat to it, and it is nothing but meat. So bear with me as I talk about the cross in detail. Jesus suffered physically and mentally to be the solution to your suffering. As his time of death drew near, he was in the garden praying about what was to come, and he began to sweat blood. The modern diagnosis of this is hematidrosis, a rare condition associated with intense psychological stress. It happens. The intense stress triggers a release of chemicals in the body that break down the capillaries and the sweat glands, so that when you're aspiring, blood comes out too. That was before he got to the cross. He was sweating blood. So was the hypovolemic shock he endured from the loss of too much blood, not only through his sweat, but from the barbed whips that they used to flog him, from the torture he received, as almost it was meant to be something that would spare him from the cross. But then the Jews wouldn't relent, and they kept pushing for the cross. So he endured double the torture, not only death, but death after a severe punishment. His veins were ripped open, and his muscles and sinews were exposed to the elements. As hypovolemic shock set in, Jesus' heart sped up in an effort to pump more blood, blood that wasn't there. So his blood pressure dropped naturally, causing him to grow faint and collapse, to need help carrying his cross to where he would be crucified. His kidneys stopped producing urine in order to maintain the fluid he did have. Fluid in the body is very important. And with the great loss of blood, his body said, keep the remainder of the fluid here. So he became very thirsty, desiring more and more liquid. Nails were used to hold Christ to the wooden cross. They were hammered through his feet and into his wrists. The nails in his wrists went right through the median nerve. You know that pain you get when you hit your elbow? The funny bone? That's the ulna nerve. And it's not funny at all, is it? One doctor has described the pain that Jesus felt, or must have felt, when the nails went through his median nerve, as not hitting your funny bone, but having someone take a pair of pliers, pinch it, squeeze it, and crush it. That's the pain he felt twice over on his wrists. Jesus was a carpenter. And in the same way that carpenters align the wood before they nail it together, his body was positioned on the cross before the nails went through and pinned him to that wood. Each arm was stretched out of socket, giving a total 6 inches that they could pin him to the cross with, the exact amount that dislocated shoulders will allow. Then finally, Jesus' cross was lifted up and he began to die of asphyxiation. With bones out of joint and gravity pulling on his body, his muscles and his diaphragm were stressed in just the right way to where he was kept in a constant inhaling position. He could only breathe in. And so what he had to do was push up with his feet to give his body an ability to exhale, to breathe out. But he could only do this for so long, as you might understand, the pain. But not just from the pain, but because after a while, with each push to breathe out, The nail would rip through more of his body, more of his feet. And eventually the tarsal bone would lock into place around that nail and he would be done for. No more pushing up. All this is to say, when we say your Lord died on the cross, he cares about you. He loves you. He went through all of that because he has not, does not, and will not leave you to suffer evil forever. He knows what suffering evil feels like. And he knows none of us want that forever or can bear it forever. This is precisely why our God became a man. Why he willingly sacrificed himself for you in the person of Jesus Christ so you wouldn't have to go through that. His death became your death. His resurrection on the third day, that's your resurrection. Very literally, it is coming. He is the first fruits. As he got up from the grave on resurrection day, all of us will. And those who believe in him will live with him forever, and those who don't, they will not live with him, which is the definition of hell. He has completed the work of saving you from your suffering. He has already rescued you from evil. Already! Do you know that? You're not waiting for a future rescue. It's already there. He preempted your cries for help. He knew they were coming because he is outside of time. That's why he went to the cross, because of everything you have, are, and will endure on this side of the resurrection day. But there's more. I didn't leave with the death of Christ. I left with him not able to breathe out. So back to the cross. Exhausted and growing weaker by the minute, as you might imagine, Jesus' breathing slowed down, sending him into what is now called respiratory acidosis, a condition where the blood's carbon dioxide is dissolved as carbonic acid, increasing the blood acid levels within the body, which leads to an irregular heartbeat, which Jesus would have felt with his pounding chest when it was skipping and missing. And so he knew cardiac arrest was on its way. His rapid heart rate from the hypovolemic shock, remember, led to what doctors now call pericardial effusion and pleural effusion, a gathering of fluid around his heart and a gathering of fluid around his lungs. It was this very fluid that the gospel writers mention when they talk about the Roman soldier who pierced Jesus' side and outflowed blood and water. It's what he did on the cross for you, because he cares for you. He died for you. He loves you. Because he's your source of help. When you cry out, like the Canaanite woman, he doesn't listen to the apostles who want you to go away because they're annoyed by you. Or the more just reading of that, they want Jesus to quickly respond to her. That's what they want. Listen to this lady. Answer her quickly, so we don't have to hear her nagging. Quickly. And he does. He doesn't even need to be prompted. You pray, and he says, look at the cross. The suffering you're enduring will not last forever. I love you, he says. I took your place there. I died for you. And I was resurrected so you would be too. Jesus' cross means, for one thing, that our Lord knows your personal struggles. He is personally aware of your physical hardships, but also your spiritual hardships. Some today might call them psychological hardships, mental hardships, emotional hardships, but spiritual encompasses that whole arena. Your Lord has suffered the same evil that you have, that you do, and that you will. Your God has not, does not, and will not leave you to suffer evil forever. There is no hardship he overlooks. Not a single one of your lives. In all the pain in this room, every single one of you has experienced pain. is experiencing pain, will experience pain. He knows about it. And he died to address it. So you wouldn't be left in that pain forever. Like he did with the Canaanite woman, he will not send you away unheard. He will challenge your understanding, thanks be to God. He will push back. He will allow you to grow, just like he did with the Canaanite woman, to where you make a bold confession that you believe in Jesus Christ, your only source of help. And you will be healed. And he will work through you to heal those around you, just like with the Canaanite woman and her daughter. You have a God, not of the kind of hurt or slightly afflicted. No. You have a God of the mortally hurt, the severely afflicted. He didn't work out your rescue upon the cross just to leave you in it. The Canaanite woman knew this. She had faith that Jesus was the Lord of the suffering. Are you suffering? Of the hurting, are you hurting? Of the sick, are you helpless? That's me. The overwhelmed and overwrought, also me. The depressed and all but dead, again, me. The diseased as well as the spiritually battered and demon oppressed, all of us. This is what the days are going to confess today. Casey and Amber are going to stand right here. And they're going to speak in words that are similar to but different, the exact same thing as the Canaanite woman. They're going to make a confession. Lord, be our help. Lord, we believe in you. Help us. This is what the Lord reveals to us when we wrestle with him and he gives us faith. Your God has not, does not, and will not leave you, my friends, to suffer evil forever. No. He died on the cross for you. And after his death, he was resurrected for you. All peace be to God. Be from God to you. Amen.
Amen.
Now may that peace, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.